Vice Chair Stafford Sweden, when you are.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. Welcome to the meeting of the Thursday, August 28th, 2025, Planning and Design Commission. Meeting is now called to order. Will the clerk please call the roll to establish a quorum?
Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioners, please unmute. Commissioner Lee?
Here.
Commissioner Tao?
Here.
Commissioner Lamas?
Here.
Commissioner Naibo?
Here.
Commissioner Caden?
Here.
Commissioner Hernandez? Is absent. Commissioner Moses Reed?
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Here.
Commissioner Blunt is absent. Commissioner Rischke is absent. Commissioner Thompson is absent. Chair Young is absent. And Vice Chair Chase?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
I'd like to remind members of the public in the chamber today, if you'd like to speak on an agenda item, please turn on a speaker slip when the item begins. You will have 3 minutes to speak once you are called. After the first speaker, we will no longer accept speaker slips. We will now proceed with today's agenda, starting with the land acknowledgement, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise. To the original people of this land, the Nisenan people, the Southern Maidu Valley and Plains Miwok, Patwin Winton peoples, and the people of the Winton Wilton Rancheria, Sacramento's only federally recognized tribe. May we acknowledge and honor the native people who came before us and still walk beside us today on these ancestral lands by choosing to gather today in the active practice of acknowledgement and appreciation for Sacramento's indigenous people, history, contributions, and lives. Thank you. Please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Please be seated. All right, we will start with the director's report today.
Thank you, Chair. On Tuesday, the 26th of August, City Council approved entitlements for two projects. The first one, Birchway at Natomas, a development with 378 dwelling units on Promenade Circle, and Independence in Natomas, a development with 170 dwelling units on North Park Drive and Kanaki Drive. The Commission considered both of these items and recommended approval at their meeting on the 28th of July. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now proceed to the approval of the consent calendar. Clerk, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on the consent calendar?
Thank you. I have no speaker slips on this item.
Thank you. Are there any commissioners who wish to speak on the consent calendar? Seeing none. Oh, I'm sorry. There is one. Commissioner. Okay. Are there any motions?
Ma'am? I'll second.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Clerk, take the roll.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioners, please unmute. Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Tao?
Yes.
Commissioner Lamas?
Aye.
Commissioner Naibo?
Aye.
Commissioner Caden?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Moses Reed?
Aye.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Blunt is absent. Commissioner Rischke is absent. Commissioner Thompson is absent. Chair Young is absent. And Vice Chair Chase?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Hearing calendar. Item number two is the Natomas Golf Facility, P24-034. Is there a staff presentation? Zach?
All right. So good evening to the Vice Chair and fellow commissioners. My name is Zach Dahl, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is the Natomas Golf Facility Project, P24-034. The project is located northeast of Venture Oaks Way at a vacant 14.5-acre parcel adjacent to Interstate 5 and surrounded by a variety of office, hotel, and supportive commercial uses. Residential subdivisions are also located 600 feet to the west past Gateway Oaks Drive. The project site is zoned office business low-rise mixed use and located in the Gateway Center PUD. This PUD was established in 1982 and has evolved into predominantly a government and corporate office park with multiple hotels. Over the years, this PUD has experienced numerous amendments to accommodate and support new developments. Site-specific PUD amendments include a 2008 amendment to accommodate a 12-story office development. The PUD was further amended again in 2024 to designate the site for office or multi-unit development to allow for flexibility in the development of the PUD. Tonight, the applicant is requesting to remove 59 trees to develop a two-story, 45,000 square foot amusement center golf venue consisting of a multi-level driving range with 80 golf bays, a full-service restaurant and bar, event spaces, and 324 parking stalls. As shown in the rendering, the main facility structure would be located in the center of the site with the driving range outfield extending to the east towards I-5. Large safety netting would be mounted to net poles ranging 90 to 156 feet in height and would extend along the outfield area. To accommodate this request, the project requires Planning and Design Commission review and approval of amendments to the Gateway Center PUD to redesignate the site for amusement center outdoor uses and update the permitted uses, development standards, and sign code for this use. It will need a conditional use permit to authorize the amusement center outdoor use in the office business low-rise mixed-use zone, site plan and design review of the recreational facility and associated site improvements with a deviation to non-residential fencing standards, and lastly, a tree permit for the removal of 8 private protected trees. As of 5 p.m. tonight, the project has received 3 e-comments and 10 letters of support, including letters from the Natomas Chamber of Commerce and the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. The project has also received 9 letters and 4 e-comments in opposition from local residents that highlight concerns with light pollution from the outfield lighting, noise pollution from the use, and traffic and safety impacts due to increased vehicle trips. In evaluating potential impacts, including those related to light, noise, and traffic generated by the proposed project, staff found them to be minimal. The site layout allows for large setbacks from the adjacent properties to the north, south, and west. This, coupled with the proposed orientation and placement of the driving range, directs operational noise away from the adjacent developments. Additionally, the building further buffers noise traveling to the west as the, golf bays are heading out towards the east. Lighting associated with the outdoor driving range will also be mounted at the building edge and pointed towards the playing field away from the neighboring residential and commercial uses, as shown in the image on the slide. A project-specific traffic report was also prepared to assess the project's circulation and potential traffic conflicts within the project vicinity. The report found traffic impacts to be minimal, as the projected increases in vehicle trips would result in minor 1 to 2 second delays at adjacent intersections, with 1 to 2 car lengths of additional queuing that can be accommodated by the existing roadways. To address potential pedestrian impacts identified in the report, the project is required to construct a new signaled pedestrian crossing at the Venture Oaks Way and Gateway Oaks Drive intersection that will allow for connection to a neighboring bike trail. Overall, staff is supportive of the proposed development as it supports the equitable distribution of entertainment, recreational offerings throughout the city and creates synergy with adjacent land uses by providing an entertainment option for patrons of the neighboring hotels, furthering economic prosperity of the area. And with that, staff recommends the Planning and Design Commission approve the project. This concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions. Additionally, the applicant team is here to also address the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Before we proceed, I missed one item. I'd like to ask commissioners if there are any disclosures or recusals tonight. Head to what?
Go through the queue.
I'm sorry. This week, the queue? Okay. First is... Commissioner Macias Reed.
Yes, so I spoke with the applicant and had a meeting with applicant consistent with the staff report.
Thank you. Commissioner Hernandez.
I also met with the representative of the applicant, consistent with staff report.
Commissioner Lee.
Yeah, I also met with the applicant, consistent with the staff report.
Commissioner, is it Naibo or which one? Caden.
I had a Zoom meeting with the applicant.
Is that the only, okay. Commissioner Lamas.
I also had a meeting with the applicant and the applicant's representative, and it was consistent with the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Tao.
The applicant did reach out, but we failed to schedule a meeting to meet, but I just wanted to be noted that the applicant did reach out to me.
I had a Zoom meeting also with the applicant. And Commissioner Ortiz.
There was a request by the applicant to meet, but unfortunately my schedule didn't allow for that, but they did seek, and I did not have the meeting.
Now moving on, does the applicant have a presentation? Would they like to?
Yes, good evening. Vice Chair Chase, members of the Planning and Design Commission. Ryan Hooper with Thatch and Hooper this evening representing Topgolf. With me tonight is Matt Smith, the Senior Director of Real Estate for Topgolf, Scott Wetterling, the Director of Real Estate Development, Sam Grunkley with Stantec, the engineer, and Kevin Nowak with Arco Murray. Also with us tonight is Leticia Ramirez, an attorney from our office. Thought maybe it would make sense to start off the conversation with a little bit of background, because I think that would be helpful here. This, as staff rightly notes, is in the Gateway Oaks PUD. That PUD was established in 1982. This site has sat vacant for all that time. There was a proposal in 08, as staff mentioned, for a 12-story office tower with 327,000 square feet, 1,900 parking spaces, a very intense use that was approved by the Planning Commission some years ago. It was not built, but we think that that's an important backdrop to consider when looking at this and evaluating the impacts of the project before you tonight. The project, as staff noted, has 14 and a half acres, 45,000 square feet, two-story, 80 bays. Some of you may be familiar with the Roseville location. This is indeed smaller. The Roseville location is three stories and 102 bays. So this is a little bit more compact version, again, with 324 parking spaces as opposed to the 1,900 that was previously approved. The other thing I wanted to identify for you, there's some benefits here that I think may feed into some of the issues that we're going to talk about. One of those is the rideshare program. Our client teams up with different rideshare companies. They highly encourage rideshare. In fact, the project incorporates a drop-off pickup zone for rideshare. In addition to that, there is a RT bus stop literally on the corner next to the project that has a bench and a covered shelter. So some good things that we like about that. But I think in terms of Topgolf, this is an exciting project for Sacramento. It's exciting to bring in Topgolf to South Natomas in particular. We think this is a great site. They are gonna bring 300 new jobs to Sacramento to operate this facility. It's expected that based on their numbers that this project will generate between $150 million and $250 million of economic benefit to the area, not including tax revenue to the city, and a lot of jobs, as I mentioned. But as I mentioned a minute ago, I think that this is an ideal location. Contrary to maybe some thoughts, this is ideal for this location because the general plan and the zoning contemplate such uses. That's why we only need a use permit to operate this. I think there may be some misunderstandings. We're not seeking a rezone. There's no general plan amendment. This is, you know, entirely consistent with the office zone that the project is located in. I did want to highlight CEQA. I think there's a CEQA exemption, 15183, which basically says if you're consistent with the general plan and the zoning, which we are, and you don't have any peculiar project impacts, you're available, you could avail yourselves of this exemption. In order to do this, we had to engage an environmental consultant, John Teofilo, with ESA, is here tonight. He prepared a very robust initial study that looked at a panoply of different topics that you look at with CEQA. That report determined that there was no impact, hence our ability to avail ourselves of that CEQA exemption. In terms of issues, there have been a number of issues raised in the comment letters, the e-comments that have come in. The first of which, you know, I'll just start by saying, you know, infill's never easy. You guys have been up here a long time, you know that. Infill is tough. Everybody wants infill, everybody says they want to do infill, but the reality is you go into a place where you have neighbors. You have residential neighbors, commercial neighbors, et cetera. But you have to, you know, deal with some challenges. And so we think that, you know, in terms of this site being appropriate for Topgolf, it very much is. I think this is a great image in front of you, because you can see that this site is surrounded by office buildings. It's surrounded by hotel uses. There's some residential, a good 600, we measured it 1,000 feet, but even at 600, a good distance away. But the issues that were raised, very legitimate issues. I mean, I think that great respect for the community and the residents, and I appreciate the fact that they're engaged and they care about their community. Some issues have been raised. We've talked with some people about it. I think that some of the issues stem from just the not understanding entirely what the project consisted of. And so I just wanted to kind of hit a few of these. Traffic was an issue that was raised. We commissioned voluntarily at our client's expense a robust traffic impact study commissioned by Fair and Peers. Took a good 5 months to do that study. It was very detailed and comprehensive. As staff noted, that report yielded no significant impacts associated with this project. In fact, it didn't even trigger the warrant for a traffic signal there. What it did do is identified some things that would make the project function better from a pedestrian bicycle perspective, and we incorporated those into the project site. That's why you will see that we have the flashing pedestrian signal beacon at the corner of Gateway and Venture Oaks. We also have are putting in class 2 bike lanes, and we've also put in a very robust pedestrian connection from the right-of-way to the project entrance. In terms of the initial study, no impact with regard to traffic. The traffic study says there's no significant impact, so we maintain that there is not an issue with respect to traffic, although I could understand why somebody would be concerned about that and want to take a deeper look. The other issue that came up was lighting. I think it was suggested early on that the lighting was attached to the top of the poles that reach 156 feet. Again, I could see why that would be alarming. However, that's not what we're doing. The lighting is not attached to the building, or it's not attached to the poles. It's attached to the building itself. Zach, do you have that image available? That's the one. So as you can see, there are no floodlights at the top of the poles. In fact, all of the lighting is attached to the building and is specifically designed to cast light downward and out towards the freeway. Towards the freeway, not towards the homes, away from the homes. And as you can see, that there's no light spillage, there's no light pollution, there's no overflow of light here. All of the parking lot lighting is per your city code standards. The initial study found no issue with lighting as part of this project. I would also go back to the fact that these homes are some 600 to 1,000 feet away at the closest location. Further mitigating any lighting issue. And again, there was a 12-story office tower here planned originally. That would have produced a lot of light at a great height. So we think that light has been adequately looked at. I think that in addition to the distance, you have to look at what's inside of that distance. There's a great deal of vegetation, very tall, mature tree canopy. There's a two-story office building. There's just a lot there. If you look at that original exhibit that was up, there's a good deal to buffer any light coming from the project. Noise was also brought up as an issue here. The initial study found no impact with respect to noise. The project will meet all of the city standards for noise and the noise ordinance. Again, any noise issues would be mitigated by the fact that there's such a great distance between the residences and the project. itself. Any sound associated with the building, with the operations, would be internal to the site. The, you know, any music, TV, all of those things, sound would be internal to the site and would not be a problem. The sound can also be adjusted by the operator if there was an issue that needed to be dealt with. I want to speak briefly to trees. There has been concern about the removal of some trees. Nobody wants to see trees removed if we don't have to. In fact, you know, we are the city of trees. I was the president of the Sacramento Tree Foundation. So trees are very important to us, which is why we're planting 192 trees on this site. Yes, 59 trees have to be removed, 8 of those protected. However, it's important to note that that's a worst-case scenario. There are indeed 7 trees identified for removal that could indeed remain. We just won't know until we get into a final design. So this was kind of more of a worst-case scenario. Of those 7 that may remain, 2 of them were protected trees. So we think that that's good. There are currently 139 trees on the site. So there's a great deal of vegetation, a great deal of trees being planned for the site. We work very closely with the city's arborist, and we work closely with SMUD to make sure that we put in the appropriate type of trees under the power lines that traverse the northern portion of the property. With respect to alcohol and the hours of operation, you know, Topgolf operates from 9 in the morning till midnight, Sunday through Thursday, and Friday and Saturday from 9 until 2 in the morning. They have not had problems. They have a sterling reputation. This has not been an issue for them. They take alcohol consumption very seriously, which is why they have a very robust monitoring program and employee training protocols that each of their employees go through to make sure they're able to monitor. And if somebody looks like they were having a little bit too much fun, kind of dial that back. I think it's also important to know that Topgolf stopped serving alcohol along with food about an hour or more before they actually closed their doors. Lastly, with respect to those two issues, it goes back to where I started with the ride share being something that they very much highly encourage and facilitate by you having a designated drop-off and pickup area. I want to conclude by mentioning the outreach that was done. The staff report didn't mention a very important piece of outreach that was done. Before our client ever filed an application, we held a broad community outreach open house at an office building just down the street from this location. There were over 200 people there. There were folks from the city, the community. We reached out to the adjacent to Roca, Swallow's Nest, had a representation of a great number of organizations. Everybody was very excited, very positive comments that came out of that. And again, we did that before we filed an application so that we could, you know, address the feedback that we got prior to filing the application. The letters have come in, we counted 11 letters of support that came in. I've sent Zach an updated list. I think the confusion is there was a cutoff at noon today for them to get included in the staff report. Additional letters came in, but we had 11 letters of support. It's not easy to get letters of support for things, as you probably know. So with that, I would just urge staff's urge approval of staff's recommendation tonight for the Topgolf facility. Our entire team is here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any commissioners that have questions of either staff or the applicant? Commissioner Ortiz.
Yes, thank you. If the proponent, the project's proponent could come forward. I have a question. Actually, it's on this Boise After Hours example that you gave regarding the lighting. It sounds this isn't the site, and this is another site.
This is another site, correct.
Yeah. So what I'm curious is when you said that the light is away from, will be away from the housing, where would the housing be in? I mean, it would be helpful if you have something that shows.
Sure. Zach, are you able to bring up the original exhibit that you showed that had that aerial at the beginning of your report? Yeah.
I apologize. I must have missed it in the original diagram.
Yeah. Excellent question, Commissioner Ortiz. So the building, is up at the kind of the middle upper portion. You can see the top.
Lower or upper?
Upper.
Oh, I see. Upper there. Okay.
And so all the lighting faces, and the residential area is closer, you know, to the right side of the screen.
Could you put your little cursor and show me where the housing is?
So the housing is right here.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
And then, so as I mentioned, there's a great deal of space between the residential areas and the building. We have all these trees. There's a two-story large office building, then a parking lot, then the building over here. Okay, the lights are all mounted on the other side of this building, facing out towards the freeway. I-5 is over here. All the lighting faces out and downward that way, away from the residences.
I appreciate that, and that's, I'm glad you shared the actual site plan and that the lights are not on the poles.
No, they're not.
And indeed, the housing is a bit away. That's all I needed clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other commissioners with questions of staff or applicant? Seeing none. Is there members of the public that wish to speak on this?
Thank you, Vice Chair. I have three speaker slips for this item. Our first speaker is Michelle.
Hello, members of the commission. I'm here today to express my opposition to the proposed Topgolf development located approximately 600 feet, which is probably about closer to about 300 steps.
Sorry to interrupt. Could you state your name and
address? I'm sorry. My name is Michelle Shaw.
Thank you.
Sure. So I'm here today to express my opposition to the proposed Topgolf development located approximately 600 feet from the entrance to our community, which is about 300 steps. That's kind of a good way to look at it. My family has been a proud part of this neighborhood for over 25 years. When we originally purchased our home as original homeowners in 1999, the area was zoned across the way as an OBPUD, Office Planned Use Development. At the time, the zoning gave us the peace of mind that we would continue to enjoy a quiet residential area with walkable streets and minimal disruptions. However, since the news broke in August of 2024 that Topgolf was planning to build in this area, we have seen what has appeared to be a sudden and uncommunicated zoning change, which is why we're here. This change has just been disclosed to the 600 residents that live in our neighborhood, which is Riversgate, and we are the ones that's closest to this. And so it's rather disturbing because we have lived there for 26 years. Our house is just about paid off. My husband and I have worked most of that time. We've worked full time to pay off the house. Little concerned about the property value and what it's going to do to it. And I'm just a little bit concerned about what's going to be removed. Obviously, there's going to be tree removals to go there as well. The other thing that's kind of interesting is that there's an AM/PM and there's a 7-Eleven that's located about a half a mile away from the location on West El Camino. They have been repeatedly denied alcohol, that they cannot sell it. But it's going to be okay that Topgolf is selling it, and they're selling alcohol until midnight, 1 a.m. That's concerning. I understand when the gentleman spoke that they're very trying to work very well with alcohol programs and things like that. But it's rather difficult when you live in a community and pretty much you think by about 10 o'clock most of the time, maybe 11 o'clock, that it's kind of quiet time for the most part. We live in a very quiet community, and I really feel that as homeowners who invested in this area under specific zoning and development expectations, we have a right to be informed and consulted about any changes that could affect our property value, our quality of life, and the overall character of our community. And I would really hope that as planning commissioners, that you would really take that into consideration. While I understand business is something that can be really great for an area, I feel that this is not the area that for this development that makes best for the use of the community. So
thank you for your comment. Your time is now up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Carolina.
Good afternoon, everyone. Carolina Gore. I'm also a resident across the street where the projected golf place is going to be. We have been residents of that area we bought over 25 years ago, and we have enjoyed for all this time peaceful, quiet weekends. Granted, since the apartments that were built next to us came up, the traffic on Gateway Oaks, which, by the way, it will be the only access if you're traveling on I-5 South, if you want to get to the golf course, you have to come out, take Garden Highway, make another right on Gateway Oaks, and that's the only way you can get in. That's our main thoroughfare. It's already busy enough. We already have called 311 so many times because kids are doing out there the wheelies and whatever else they're doing. This is going to complicate the traffic alone. I know they presented the fact that it's not going to be a big impact. I defer different. I would like them to go, any of you, to go and look at what the weekends look like and what the weekends will look like if this project takes place. In addition to that, the lighting that it was presented in there, it might not be facing our properties, but it's bright, bright lights, which is going to be obvious to everyone who's there. In addition to that, I respectfully ask you to, since you were able to meet with the project managers, I would like you to meet with the concerned citizens, because we haven't had a voice on this. They presented to you what they would like to do, the changes they want to implement, but you also need to hear from us, because we're the ones who live there, and we're gonna be definitely impacted by this project. Thank you very much for your time, and I'm going to be here. If you want to meet with all of us, we'll be happy to put together a meeting of all the concerned citizens, especially the ones that live at Riversgate, which is within walking feet from the proposed site. Thank you very much for your time, and we're going to be here if you need us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment, and our last speaker is Kathy.
Three.
Hello, I'm one of three today. thank you so much for your time. I am a local business member. I lived in South Natomas for a couple years myself over at Sutter Green Apartments, and I work for Dem & Partners. We have about 1,000 apartments in the South Natomas area, and we're very excited about this project. We are also right across the street from Topgolf up in Rockland, and they've been great neighbors to us, really good business partners, a great member of the community. We think this also creates a great live, work, play space for folks. It's just a great community asset, and we would be really excited to welcome Topgolf as our neighbor here in Sacramento. Thank you so much for your time. I wrote a letter as well that has more detailed thoughts. Thank you.
Could you state your name?
Yes. My name is Kathy Demon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Chair, I have no more speakers.
Thank you. Any additional online or anything else? That's the extent of it. Okay. Hearing that, any commission questions or motions? Commissioner Lamas.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to the staff for preparing the report. Thanks to all of you who came out tonight and voiced some of your concerns. Thanks to those that took the time to also submit letters through the e-port, the e-comments, or to city staff to be included as part of the report. I did have some questions just to try to get some clarification as to what I heard tonight. I think there was a mention of a zoning change, but I think the applicant had mentioned that there, in fact, is no zoning change. So it is consistent with the zoning. Okay, and I'm getting some head nods. That is, yes, that is correct. Okay. Also, wanted to talk a little bit more about the traffic study. From what I understood, it was not a requirement that the applicant had to conduct a traffic study, but I guess maybe if you can speak a little bit to that, whether it was required or is it something the applicant took to try to anticipate any issues in the future and mitigate those?
Yeah, good question. We have representatives from Public Works. They want to, they reviewed the project, and they're happy to kind of talk about the traffic report.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Matthew Logan. I'm here with Giovanni Cantianos. We are with Public Works. I was actually managing the entitlement review of the project. Giovanni here assessed the traffic analysis. I believe your question was if it was required or not?
Correct.
So from the city's perspective, we required it just to ensure that the operations within the project vicinity checked out and that there was no issues. As mentioned before, the analysis concluded that there's acceptable operations with the project. There is no impacts, even though it was just a congestion traffic analysis. As you may know, SB 743 has vehicles miles traveled as the CEQA mitigation impact now. But with this analysis, we just want to make sure the roadways was acceptable and it is meeting city standards.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's helpful. So from what I'm hearing, the report that was prepared indicated that there was no adverse impact to additional traffic in the area.
Yes, from a CEQA perspective, there is no environmental impact, but there were some queuing deficiencies, but only minimal deficiencies to that did not create any further deficiencies. So the roadways are still operating with the project. Acceptably.
Okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I also had another question for maybe the applicant here, just again to confirm my understanding. There were some, I believe, recommendations on that traffic report to try to provide a safe route for folks to traverse the area. And I think that included the protected bike lanes and a walking area.
Yeah, so we have planned, the report recommended and we've implemented into the project pedestrian crossing at Gateway and Venture Oaks that travels from east to west, and it has a flashing beacon to alert cars and whatnot that people are traveling across that location. Conveniently located within feet is the RT bus stop. So we thought that was very synergistic in terms of trying to encourage people to access the project, you know, through, you know, other means of transit. In addition to that, yes, you're right. We were requested and we are going to construct class 2 bike lanes along Gateway Oaks. That was a recommendation of the study. We also moved, the study had some other things you wouldn't necessarily see. The study said it would function better if we moved some driveways over here and there and kind of aligned with some driveways across the street. So we did that, and then it was recommended that we put in a very strong, visible, accessible path of travel from the sidewalk on Venture Oaks up through the project to the front door in a manner that doesn't conflict with parking and that kind of thing, so that folks had a very safe way of getting to the project.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. The only other question I had was, actually, I think it was addressed. I think I had some questions about the lighting and just confirming that they're not on the light post. They're on the actual structure facing towards the interstate. And they're within the city's guidelines as to what's allowed in terms of lighting. And also had questions about the noise. But from what I heard from the applicant, the noise is contained on the inside of the structure. again, also facing away from the residential areas. I think with that, I did want to just acknowledge that as the report, staff report indicated, that this site has been vacant and underutilized for years. The proposed development would bring meaningful investment to the community, create local jobs, and add a new recreational facility to South Natomas and the surrounding area. In addition, the area is designated as an opportunity area. I know the city has an interest to try to encourage certain development here. And it is part of the city's general plan goals for infill development. Also diversifying land uses and supporting a vibrant economy outside of the downtown core. I also want to recognize that the applicant has seemed to have made efforts to try to address some of the impacts in the surrounding community, starting with the initial outreach that was conducted last year to get some of that initial feedback, but also some of the design aspects which try to be responsive to some of those concerns that have been raised, such as the structure being oriented towards I-5 thereby reducing the noise to nearby residential housing. The lighting also being designed in a way to be directed inward and towards the golf course area. Also reduces or limits any spillover of light to adjacent properties, specifically residential uses. As was mentioned, the pedestrian and bike infrastructure improvements, those like the new signal and protected bike lanes, I think are gonna help go a long way with improving access and safety, which is a big part for the community. I do understand that there has been concerns raised, but in my view, I do believe the project conditions and design elements provide pretty good safeguards to address those concerns. And overall, the project represents smart infill, economic opportunity, and community benefit. So for these reasons, I do motion to support the staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Macias Reed.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I have a few things, though. Thank you to staff, and thank you for everyone who came in this evening for the comments. So I'm on Google Maps measuring out the distances, and I do see that from the site to the residential, you're between 500 and 600 feet from the site. And then from where the proposed building is likely to be placed, because you're gonna have a buffer from the parking lot, you're probably somewhere around 1,000 feet. And so, you know, in my opinion, I think that's a substantial amount of space away from the neighborhood. I did hear a comment. I know that you guys were speaking about, or there was a comment made about the alcohol CUP that I know has been at this commission multiple times on West El Camino. I think we're very familiar with that. And I think there is a pretty big difference here. We're talking about off-site consumption versus on-site consumption. So I would say that there's somewhat of a difference in terms of what we are considering here this evening. I think one of the big differences, too, with this project is there is a designation and a partnership around encouraging that ride share. I mean, you're in an infill project that's a couple of miles from a downtown midtown high-density area. You're near residential. You're near, you're even really in walking distance from this location. We had a public comment this evening from someone who clearly has children, who clearly either, you know, patronizes a Topgolf or, encourages others to do so, and clearly has gone to the location in Roseville. And so I think actually the opposite would be true, that it would not hurt your home values. I think quite the opposite would be true. I think Topgolf, I think it speaks for itself. I think it's a huge amenity. I think it would be a huge amenity to the city and to the neighborhood. So I just wanted to mention that. I also wanted to say, I think you already clarified that, Commissioner Lamas, but I also wanted to say that this is definitely in no way a zoning change, so it is consistent with zoning. Lastly, I did want to mention that currently this location is approved, and I don't know if we can, if you have this information, I'm sure you do, when the commission last approved the last approval for a project on this location. But I believe, so that the community knows, what project was last approved on this location, because you know, what I think is currently approved, I think really is interesting, because what we're approving here, I think, has less of an impact to the community overall than what someone could currently come in and build today as it currently stands. So if you could, staff, just sort of speak to what is currently approved on the site today, if somebody wanted to come in today and build on this site. The currently approved entitlement, or rather what's currently allowed. Because I think it's more of a significant, I think it's significant to note that, because, you know, the commission in the past has approved that.
Yeah, so it looks like in, so May 2008 was that original special permit to allow for that 12-story office development. And then on,
how many looks, parking spaces, I'm sorry?
Oh, it was over 1,000 parking spaces and 12 stories. So, it, you know, a lot, but it's pretty tall increase compared to, you know, the 156 that you would see for those light poles, not the light poles, the netting poles, I should say. It looks like back in January 27th of 2022, that was when we did we extended the life of that special permit. And as part of that, we also redesignated the site for office or multi-unit development in the case that, you know, somebody else wanted to come in and provide more residential opportunities in the area. But it looks like that office development might have expired on 2023. But for the long, you know, since from 08 to 2023, there was an allowed 12-story office complex that could have come in for building permits.
And I, you know, overall, if I'm considering, well, what's better for the community, is it a 12-story building or is it a Topgolf that offers, you know, entertainment? You know, I know that, you know, from what I understand, people, you know, Topgolf sells out on Father's Days, Mother's Days. I mean, these are amenities South Natomas does not have amenities like this. And so, you know, again, speaking to the comments that Commissioner Lamas spoke to earlier, I mean, I see the overall economic benefit here. And I do understand the concerns, but I would counter that. I would think that this would actually have the opposite. I think this would actually have a financial benefit to you. And so I would like to second the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Ortiz.
Thank you. I'm just going to address two points, or perhaps even ask a question on one of them. But I think the question of traffic, because I think I heard the residents about the concern for traffic. You know, Gateway Oaks is what, 3 lanes each way, 4 lanes each way. What's how wide? 2 each way, so it's a total of 4 plus probably a turning lane. So, you know, for residents who clearly are concerned about potentially increased loads on these traffic with increased uses, I often felt the challenge of traffic engineers, with all due respect, our public works staff. You know, the idea of designing traffic or roadways, in particularly in suburban areas like this, is to move as many vehicles as efficiently as possible. So you've moved to a community that is designed for large traffic loads relative perhaps to Midtown or older neighborhoods that are narrow. So you're unfortunately in a community in which it was designed to put as many vehicles on the road each way and to absorb lots of traffic. That's the nature of your roads, unfortunately. Gateway Oaks, a lot of those in the suburban areas are like that. I think the point was made that the proponent, project representative, that they actually will do things that are going to improve the pedestrian walkway, the bike lanes, slowing down traffic, those things are always a little bit risky, where the lights, because when you get that many cars going both ways, in my opinion, they start out being, in my preference, badly designed, because people drive too fast there, quite frankly. But these measures may indeed slow things down. That's not going to make you feel happy. I know you're going to be troubled about it, but you know, you are in a community which is designed with these roads that move as many vehicles as possible. And therefore, when they do an analysis and traffic study, when they say there's no negligible effects given the increased load, because those roadways are designed to carry that many cars. And indeed, these mitigation measures perhaps, I believe, will address somewhat. I mean, you still bike at your own peril on some of these streets. But they could actually address problems you have now. It's unfortunate. I mean, this is the community. It was designed that way to move a lot of cars. And I think to the point of what the underlying zoning and ability of what could be built there, even though that entitlement has expired, you know, huge office spaces with thousands of vehicles a day would be worse, but that's a matter of right almost. That's the zoning. That's kind of the community you live in with that zoning. I think the market conditions, I mean, clearly there's never going to be an office building there because people are not going into offices anymore and, you know, people are working from home. So that project got its entitlements, was never built. You know, I'm not a golfer, but I have friends who love Top Golf. So it's unfortunate. You live in a community in which this is almost a matter of right. I do believe the point of the distance from the site versus the distance to the homes is a valid one. That's 1,000 feet. I believe the lights are indeed not going to be obtrusive, but hopefully there will be that communication with the operators of this, that they will be responsive to the neighbors if indeed those lights create a problem in the future. So unfortunately, this is a matter of right that this can happen. The one issue that I'm a little, and it's just me, I'm probably the person on here, alcohol from what time in the morning till midnight? I'm sorry, I should have said. How long will they be serving alcohol?
Alcohol is available during business hours, though they cut it off and about an hour, a little bit more than an hour before they close.
What time is that?
Well, if it's Sunday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to midnight, so they close at midnight, alcohol sales would conclude somewhere around 11.
So alcohol sales, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Golfers are passionate people. That's it does seem a little long, but that's always my issue, especially, and I think the point is well taken that, you know, the a.m. p.m. and the 7-Eleven, those are different animals. I mean, residents should be cognizant of not wanting those in their neighborhoods because they often come with nuisance. This is an operated on-site as if it was a restaurant. Well, I assume there'll be. I don't like 11 p.m., but that's just me, and I'm just going to put it out there. I don't expect a motion. I don't want to change it, but, you know, people drinking that long or having the opportunity to drink till 11 p.m., when you've probably been out there since 8 p.m. or 6 p.m. is a little bit of an issue, but that's just my pet peeve. But with that, a lot of our job up here is to try to explain kind of the nature of what is available and what can be done as a matter of right in a neighborhood, and kind of the neighborhood you live in, and that's the reality of those streets that carry a lot of vehicles. I think the traffic mitigation measures, the bike lane, the walkway, I think that perhaps will be an improvement, but it's totally consistent with the design of those roadways, those large, big corridors coming in and out in Natomas. That's just the nature of them. So with that, I'm prepared to support it, but I just think it's helpful for us to walk this through with the residents when they raise concerns. So I feel like I tried to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Before we take a vote, I have a few comments as well. I know the community well. My wife and I almost bought a house there some years back, and it's a wonderful neighborhood. I spent time driving and walking around the other day to get a sense of what the issues might be here. And in fact, we were going to buy a house that was right on the other side of the wall. I forget the street, the frontage, so it would have been one of the closest ones to it. I started walking from the wall and looking, and I did not see anything that would be an issue if I'd lived there that I would have a concern with. And again, I also go back to the 12-story office building that had been approved. Virtually, it was a twin to the one that's across the freeway, same developer owner at that time. And that would have had, a much more significant impact. Certainly would have had peak traffic hours. Morning, a lot of traffic coming, 1,000 cars, and evening, 1,000 cars coming and going. Facility like this, it's going to be spread out more evenly through those hours. So I think all in all, considering everything, I think it's an appropriate use. As was mentioned earlier, it does not require a zone change, so it's anticipated use here with the CUP. That said, I think there are always concerns. I think when somebody mentioned infill projects, are always of a concern. They're plunked down in the middle of something that's already there, and the adjacencies can often be a concern. In this case, I don't see the concerns. I suspect overall it will be a positive aspect. I think it will certainly not have a negative property value impact. If anything, perhaps more so to be able to market a house. I think it'll be of value to the office buildings and the hotels adjacent too, as a amenity to bring guests and workers to the area. So with that, I also do support the motion. And with that, Clerk, let's take a vote.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioners, please unmute. Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Tao?
Aye.
Commissioner Lamas?
Aye.
Commissioner Naibo?
Aye.
Commissioner Caden?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Masisri?
Aye.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Blunt is absent. Commissioner Rischke is absent. Commissioner Thompson is absent. Chair Young is absent. And Vice Chair Chase?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you, Clerk. Thank you all. And thank you all for coming tonight to the meeting. Next item on the agenda is the commissioner comments. Are there any ideas or comments from commissioners? I see no names popping up there. With that, are there public comments for matters not on the agenda?
Thank you, Vice Chair. I have no slips for this item.
Okay, thank you. With that, we will move to an adjournment. Thank you all.